world for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with a good friend, Joey McCoy. Joey, if you didn't have a chance to tune in the program yesterday, he and I were looking at the conversion story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. It's yesterday's reading at Mass, and the church leads us through the Acts of the Apostles in these days between Easter and Pentecost, helping us focus in on and lay hold of what the Holy Spirit did, what the Lord did through His Spirit to bring about new life, to bring about the church, really. The unfolding of the church is led by the work of the Spirit, which we want to talk about today. Again, go back to that reading, but really all week what I've asked Joey to do is come and we're going to take some time to share experience from our own lives of how we've encountered the power and love and mercy of Jesus through the Holy Spirit in our own lives and the difference that that makes. Welcome back, Joey.
Good to be here, Peter.
Yeah, if you didn't have a chance to listen to yesterday's program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. And you could listen to the program right there on the website or download it, put it on your iPod, and listen to it when it's convenient. The Holy Spirit, the recent popes have reminded us time and time again, is the first agent of the church's mission. And what we're seeing here is the mission of the church extending beyond the borders of the people of Israel, beyond the Jews themselves, and now going to the Gentiles. And the prophets of the Old Testament talked and said that Jesus was going to be a light to the Gentiles, that the people of God would be a light to the nations, to the Gentiles. And now that fulfillment, the light which is Christ, right? The light which has been made manifest to us, the life which is the light of men, the apostles said, is now going from them, passing to the Gentiles. And it's passing through by means of witness, testimony, proclamation of the facts of salvation, the basic kerygma, which you touched on yesterday. Why don't you read, Joey, again from 10:34, and let's do it piece by piece this time, and maybe read down to verse 39 to start with, and we can say a few things about it.
Sure. So it starts, "And Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.'"
We could probably spend a week just on that section.
Yeah.
But you know, and Peter opened his mouth. It's like in Acts 2, it says, "Then Peter stood up."
Yeah.
So Peter's the spokesman initially on a lot of this, right? These are both the first proclamation, the first day of the birth of the church, and the first day and the first moment that it goes to the Gentiles, which is, I think, significant. And then he said what Peter realizes is, based on the vision that he had of the unclean animals that the Lord told him to eat, Peter's stuck on the distinctions the Lord wants to move him beyond, and he said that what he sees is the fact that God is speaking to Cornelius, that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him. And going back to what we had just read earlier about Cornelius, you want to read that section, and at the beginning of chapter 10, verse 2, it describes who he is, and then all the way down to through 4, what the Lord saw in him, in Cornelius.
So it says, "Cornelius, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms liberally to the people and prayed constantly to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius,' and he stared at him in terror and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God.'"
Yeah, and so this is the person that Peter's encountering. And he's recognizing, and it's an eye-opener for a Jewish believer to see this Gentile being led by God to come to receive the promise that was meant for the people of Israel. And the promise is fullness of life in the Holy Spirit. And this crossing over is an enormously significant thing. And Peter's amazed by it. He's really surprised, and he's shocked, and he's amazed. He said, "God shows no partiality." We thought he showed partiality to us only, But now he shows no partiality. And what is said here about Cornelius is beautiful, and something the Catholic Church recognizes too, that a righteous person, in the sense of your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial to God. He was seeking God. He feared God, the God that he knew, as much as he knew.
He didn't know him by name.
Right, he didn't know him by name, but his heart was directed to the truth and the light he was receiving. And he was responding to that. And he was longing for the fullness of that. And that fullness is in Jesus. So this is something I want to say. Sometimes you hear people, some people in the Catholic Church talk about evangelization. So just let people follow their own path, and they'll be fine where they are, and there's many roads, and there's many gods. No, this sincere heart found fulfillment in the truth and the light that's a person, Jesus of Nazareth, and it comes about through the gift of the Holy Spirit, repentance, baptism, and gift of the Spirit.
And it's really, it's a tremendously beautiful passage. Could you imagine someone like Cornelius who's had this hunger his whole life, and he's had this yearning, and he's been praying to he knows not what, and he's been searching and searching, as every single human being is. And then at the end, you can imagine the enormous smile and maybe like thunderous peace within this man, where it's just, finally, this is everything I've been longing for.
Yeah.
And we ought to be Peter. We ought to be helping people have that same kind of encounter and have that same sort of experience. Because that's what love does, right? That's what you want to do for people, is give them what is really, really good for them, what they're really looking for.
Yeah. And this is the object of the depth of what's in the heart of the longing of every single human being.
Yeah.
We have longings for lots of things, but nothing else will ultimately satisfy us other than God himself and connecting with God through the power of the Holy Spirit through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, so the reading goes on, where Peter says, you know the word which he sent to Israel. So what was the word God sent to Israel? He preached good news, and it's a good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. And so the peace is what? It's reconciliation, peace between God and man. The sin problem which divided us was dealt with. Also between the wall that separated Jew and Gentile. God, the hostility that was present there, God was bringing peace. We're all called to be sons and daughters of God in one family, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and born again, born anew through the waters of baptism and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the same life principle running through us, the very life of God himself.
Yeah. And this shows another key aspect of the early church and what the church should be nowadays, and that's communion.
Yeah.
And living in communion. I mean, like John 17, when Jesus is praying right before he's about to be arrested, right before he's about to go die, the last things on his heart, you know, that he prays to, that he offers up before the Father, is that they might be one as you and I are one. And this is sort of what we start to see. It's like God is gathering people to himself and to one another, you know? In Acts 2, when the 3,000 are baptized, you can see this community life that builds up, and they form, you know, they listen to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of the bread, and they devote themselves to the prayers and really life with one another.
Yeah.
And in Christa Fidelis Laici, Pope John Paul II says that communion and mission, which are like linked like a chain, you can't, they're almost the same thing, because community is the source and the fruit of mission. Out of community springs forth mission. Out of the community of the church springs forth mission. And from the fruit of that mission is bringing people back into the community.
And let's jump down to verse 38 there. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power.
Yeah.
It's very important. Who is Jesus, and why is Jesus the only Savior of the world? Here's one of those places that helps us connect with the utter, total, absolute uniqueness of the person of Jesus Christ. Because what is it that we need? What does the human race need? Needs God, needs the life of God. And the life of God is the Spirit. And who's been anointed with that Spirit is Jesus of Nazareth. And he's anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. What does he mean? What do you think?
Well, the power to crush death. And another way to say it is the power to give us life. Mm-hmm. And the power to pour out his life in the Spirit, as he did on the apostles at Pentecost, and into his mother, Mary, before that. But pour out into us life, which we need, the very life of God, which is exactly what we need, because we can't create it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? But he has the power to do it.
And that's exactly what he said in Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power. And those guys' motors were running. They wanted to tell more people about the fact that he was risen from the dead. They wanted to get going. He said, no, wait.
You can't do it yet.
Wait. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses.
Yeah.
This is why the Spirit is... You know, Pope Francis said the Holy Spirit is the soul of mission, the supreme power that drives mission. You know?
Yeah.
And it's Jesus alone can give that grace to us. And that's how the church comes to be. That's what makes the church the church.
Yeah.
Everything in her comes to be by virtue of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit.
Yeah, we're not smart enough, we're not loving enough, we're not talented enough to go on mission and really convert the whole world. We're just not. We don't have the goods.
Yeah.
We need the heart of God, who is burning with love and has all the power to give us everything we need to go on mission and to proclaim the good news. And the new evangelization that the church is now shouting from the rooftops and that is a buzzword and everyone knows about the new evangelization. Everyone has that in their quiver.
Yeah.
But you see here in Acts 2, or not just Acts 2, but Acts 1 and 2, there is no new evangelization because there wasn't any old evangelization without Pentecost first and without the Spirit giving us the power to do it.
That really means a new Pentecost. Again, the recent posts have talked a lot about praying for the grace of a new Pentecost. And that new Pentecost is not some vague force. It's a personal Pentecost.
Yeah.
It's each baptized person receiving their inheritance, really, coming fully into their inheritance as baptized, confirmed men and women in Christ in the church. We're meant for that power to lay hold of us.
Yeah.
It's a life-changing, life-transforming power. And at the heart of it, the Holy Spirit first comes to reveal to us the lordship, the beauty, and the majesty of Jesus.
Yeah.
It brings about, that's the starting point of everything.
Yeah.
It's not just a feeling. I'm not saying that. It can include that. It's a revelation, you know, it's small r. It's the grace of the Spirit helping us understand, touching our minds, bringing light to our minds and our hearts of who Jesus really is.
Yeah.
Helping the Lord.
Helping us see the truth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It knocks us off our feet, in a way.
Yeah.
The feet that are so often stuck in mud, and we don't really think the right things, and we're always kind of falling down. This blows us out of that so we can stand on solid ground.
Yeah. We'll talk tomorrow a little bit more about how you've experienced that in your own life, how I've experienced it in my own life, because we ought to, as believers, have tremendous a sense of affinity and common experience with what we're reading in the Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah.
This is not just a past historical experience that could be a fable. No, this is today. When people say, well, how will the church ever re-evangelize the Western world, whatever, by the same way she evangelized in the first place.
Yeah, it's still the mission statement.
Which was becoming disciples of Jesus Christ by radically abandoning our lives to Him and surrendering ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, and everybody doing that thing that God is leading us into in the church and using the gifts that we've been given.
Yeah, like always, in everything we read in Scripture, it's not just something that happened way back then. Yeah. These are the words of God right now for how to live life, what to shoot for, how to be transformed. This is the mission statement right here. Yeah. We don't need to go anywhere else. We don't need to think up
exactly
anything
true.
New, you know?
Yeah.
Even though there's the internet nowadays, it's still the same.
Let's just read that one line again, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Why is He the only Savior of the world? Because God anointed Him to do that. And He anointed Him with what? The Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus alone has all the power needed to bring about the salvation of the world. The church knows that, and we live to communicate and extend that truth and that lived experience to every single person across the face of the earth. Friends, glad you could be with us again today. Joy will be back tomorrow. I hope you can join us. We're going to share a little bit of our own personal stories. But God bless you. Open your hearts to the Holy Spirit because He has so much more for you. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.
Join the fun at the 43rd Annual Spring Festival at St. Sebastian Parish Grounds from Friday, May 16th through Sunday, May 18th. Features include a major raffle with a $10,000 first prize, a Vegas room, bingo, 50-50 drawings, rides for all ages, and delivery.